Hey, and welcome in to the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks so much for hanging out. It is much appreciated. We all just finished watching the Bears regular season finale, and it wasn't pleasant for a big portion of it. I would say about 50 minutes of that game was not pleasant at all, but here we are at the end of it. The Bears didn't lose any ground. They didn't lose any seeding. They still ended up as the 2 seed in the NFC. So you win a game, you get to host another game before you have to travel, ideally, and go play Seattle. I'm not going to spend a ton of time breaking down this game, other than there were some things that I am concerned about. Okay? Caleb didn't make it to 4,000 yards, and that's too bad. He was pretty close. He had a wonderful season, and it clearly sets up for him to be that dude going forward. Ben said the number is arbitrary. I understand where he's coming from. I also understand Bears fans wanting to get that off of their back. I understand Caleb wanting to be the dude that allows for Bears fans to get that off of their back. But at the end of it, you look at the totality of his growth, and I think that you should be really encouraged by a lot of the things that you saw. Not a final product yet as a player, but shows you so much cool stuff that it's hard to deny that he's not one of the more talented quarterbacks in the league. So, and we can do a postmortem on everybody's season once the postseason ends. But now this is what it's about. It's about how you match up, and it's all of a sudden you come all the way back around, and it's Bears and Packers yet again. It's Bears Packers for the third time. The way that I've been thinking about this for the last week or so, when we knew that the Bears couldn't be the number one seed after losing to the 49ers, and that it was looking like the most likely outcome was going to be them versus Green Bay, is that on paper, I feel like that's the team that you want to play. Like if it was a blind resume that you were putting in front and saying you could play team A or you could play team B, with the Packers and their injuries and not having Micah Parsons and Jordan Love not playing for a couple of weeks and Josh Jacobs running around with water on his knee and all of this other stuff, like that would be the team that you would want to play. But you put that jersey on, you put that helmet on, the rivalry itself adds a little bit to it. I also think Jeff Hafley is really good at his job. And I also think that Matt LaFleur, cram up your cram hole, LaFleur, is really good at his job. And he's really good at game planning. And I wonder if after seeing Malik Willis do well getting out on the move, if there's a little bit of zone read that's put in. Not like you're not running Jordan Love, you know, 10 times, but I wonder if there's a couple of select plays, because he's big, strong, and athletic. You might be able to do some stuff with him in those moments. So we'll see what they do. But the thing that concerns me, the one of the things that I walk away from this game worrying about for the Bears inside of a playoff situation is what they look like in man coverage. And this has been going on for a big portion of the year. Once we kind of knew that Kyler Gordon wasn't himself, and I've been waiting for Jalen Johnson to regain form. And I just feel like him trying to, as he put it, break through the scar tissue in the groin, which sounds awful, by the way. Like, I know that we're talking about this from a strategic standpoint, but just from a personal standpoint and from a health standpoint, the idea of trying to fight through scar tissue in your groin sounds awful. Anyhoozle, I am concerned that they are not going to be able to stop people if they play man. If you play smart quarterbacks that understand where the advantage is. We saw it in the two games against the Packers before Jordan Love got hurt. We saw it against San Francisco. We've seen it against the Lions. The Bears really struggle with man coverage. And if Jalen's 100%, that changes the equation. That makes things pretty easy. You could put him on the best receiver from the other team and hopefully cut off a half of the field because he's on it. But he's not himself. Like, you saw guys run away from him. And it wasn't just Amon-Ra. It was Raymond, too, that ran away from Jalen, where he's almost not even in the picture. And then you add to that C.J. Gardner-Johnson getting hurt. That looked terrible. I hope he's okay, because that looked like one of those injuries where you're concerned about, like, stabilizing a guy's neck, and then when you find out that it's not that, like, watching him walk off and not quite know where to go, like, I'd be shocked if by the time this posted that we didn't hear that he was in the concussion protocol, because it just, he took a big hit. There are a couple guys, like Cole Kmet took a huge hit on that touchdown. Like, I was worried about him too, you know, that he's real tough, and that was a hell of a play. And for him to hold on to that ball, he took a good shot, and you saw the head snap back a little bit. But their issues with man coverage are so pronounced that if C.J. Gardner-Johnson does play, he becomes someone that you are going to target if you're an opposing offense. And you saw Detroit do it. You saw San Francisco do it. You saw Green Bay do it. That's not his gig. His gig is, I'm going to be a really tough player against the run. I am going to support in pass situations. I'm good in zone, all that stuff. Asking him multiple times to play man is asking for big plays, like big explosive plays, to happen. So it's a struggle, and I imagine that Matt LaFleur is looking at that tape being like, let them blitz and play man behind it, and let's see. But even when the Bears played zone in this game, like even when you were seeing, if you have a good quarterback that can make the anticipatory throws and receivers, you understand, oh, let me sit right behind the linebackers here. It was free cheese. Like, Jared Goff lit them on fire until they got to the red zone. And then in the red zone, the Lions made really terrible decisions and really bad choices. And the Bears did a good job of pressuring in some of those situations too. But yeah, I consider me concerned when it comes to the Bears defense. And thing is, like, they got a decent amount of pressure today against Goff. Like, they got him on the ground. Like, they got after it. There were a couple plays where Big Bill was a little overzealous. I feel like he was trying to steal snap counts, and they got him a couple of times. But if you're going to play man, you got to get home, or else you're going to give up explosive plays. And there were just a bunch of them inside the game today. A bunch of explosive plays. Like, you look at the receivers for Detroit. This is crazy. They had a 30-yarder, a 23-yarder, a 24-yarder, a 15-yard touchdown, an 18-yarder. Like, all of these guys came up with huge plays. And then, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs doing the Jahmyr Gibbs thing. He's so problematic. Like, he's such a great player. Had the Lions not gotten real cute with a wildcat throwback to Jared Goff, I mean, this game could have been over, you know, instead of it going down to the wire. But the Bears, the struggle is real. It's real for them. I don't think that they came out and played particularly hard. And I know that that's a bad thing to say about a team. And, you know, you know, guys are out there trying. But I've been saying it all week, I knew the Lions wouldn't give up. Like, I knew that they weren't going to lie down. There are other teams that did that. The Eagles did that. They were like, we don't care. We'll play whoever. We'll be the three seed, and we'll do what we got to do. We'll see how that works for them against the Rams. But they were just like, whatever. I'm sorry, the 49ers, right? Because the Rams will get the NFC South champions. Can we sidebar for just a second? This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. When we walk into the new year, we often look at it as a way to reset, rethink things. That comes with its own set of problems and anxiety. It's not always the easiest thing to do to work through your biggest problems, and that's where BetterHelp can help you. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. They're going to match your commitment to find you the best therapist. They'll do the initial matching so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, having served over 5 million people globally. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Let's take a little time out and talk about our friends over at Aura. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Your name, your address, phone number, even details about your family. Those get pulled from public records and the internet and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea that it exists. If you've ever searched yourself, you probably saw some stuff that you found surprising, or you've ended up on robocalls that you have no idea how you got on that list. And you don't want to be on that list. Aura helps you fight back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what is not, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's Aura, AURA.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See the site for details. Check it out for yourself. aura.com/remove.
I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics that's gentle on my stomach and gives me smooth, steady energy. Right now, get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
The NFC South tiebreaker stuff to me was hilarious. Watching that game yesterday and then watching Tampa win, and there was a lot of controversy about some of the calls that Rico Dowdle play where it was a throwback and a backwards pass, but he picked it up and ran with it, but the official said it was out of bounds. There's a lot of nonsense going on in the rain in that game. Tampa survives that game. They walk off the field, and they don't know how to feel about it. I'm watching Baker Mayfield in the postgame, and he's like, we'll wait, and we'll see what happens. And then what happens? Atlanta beats New Orleans, and now all of a sudden, Carolina Panthers have won a division. They're going to host a playoff game at 8-9. And I know that someone in the comments is going to be like, well, the Seahawks are 7-9. And they got, yeah, this is one of the worst division winners in the history of this format. Could they jump up and beat someone? Maybe, but I don't see it happening. And I love Bryce Young. Still, though, they got to the playoffs the same year the Bears got to the playoffs. So tongue in cheek, it's like, well, who won the trade? The Bears won the trade. Because they got their dude. And Bryce Young, as much as I love him, Roll Tide, I don't think they're convinced that he's the guy. That being said, he does have more comebacks than you would think. I think he's leading the NFL in fourth quarter and overtime comeback wins. I think he's got 12 of them over the last two seasons, which is crazy because they're not good. But whatever. All right, back to the Bears. So now it's back to Bears Packers. Now we're back here. Now we're back to the place where it is both exhilarating and it's filled with anxiety. The idea that the Bears and Packers are going to play again and what this means and how we look at it. This season has been a revelation. The Bears have done things that most people didn't think. I would even argue that most people inside the building didn't think that they were capable of doing. And here they are, winning a division, back in the playoffs, quarterback on the doorstep, 4,000 yards, and did amazing stuff throughout the season. You had a bunch of rookies really assert themselves this season and play well. You have the most takeaways in the league. Kevin Byard should go be an all-pro this year. You've had all these things happen. And if you lose on Sunday to the Packers, it's going to be a long 9 months. For the Bears to get to the place where everything is gravy and everyone's patting them on the back and everyone has had a blast and there's all sorts of songs and people are coming out of the woodwork as like celebrity fans of the Bears. Like all this stuff is happening. And if you lose, it feels so empty. I think the Bears are the better team, especially with the way the Packers are kind of limping into the playoffs, but they're still very dangerous. And I'm not saying that just because they're the Packers. I'm saying that because they've got some guys that make plays. And I know that people up there, I've been listening and reading, and people up there are mad at Rashawn Gary that he's not doing enough. People are mad at Jordan Love that he's not doing enough. All that goes away if they win. All of it if they win. The stakes couldn't be higher. Shout out to De La Soul. The stakes is high. And I can't wait. Like I'm so happy that I have this podcast so I can just talk about it. Now I might do a pod a day. We'll see. But this week on the Score, man, like it's going to be dope. Like it's going to be so fun from the time that Mully and Haw get on the air tomorrow. It's just going to be fun. We're doing the show out at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village on Friday. I'm glad we don't have to go all the way to the Brat Stop again. Although I shouldn't say that. Thursday, you never know. Like Thursday's show could be from the Brat Stop. Who knows? But, man, this is what it's about, right? It's about the team that you root for getting good and excelling, and then your rival is standing in your way. How more poetic could it be for you as a Bears fan? Now, it's going to fill you with some anxiety. You're going to deal with your family and your friends who are Packers fans, and they're going to hold it over your head on how their franchise has been the hammer and your franchise has been the nail. But this is the first time in a long time where I've seen Bears fans like get chesty and like bow up a little bit because they feel like they have a team that's good enough to represent them well, and they're going to get their chance. But they've got a lot to fix on defense. And I expect that considering the coaching tree that LaFleur came from, that you are going to see a Frankenstein's monster or the creature of what the 49ers do and what the Lions did. And will Ben be up to the task of taking it on? I hope so, because I'd love for this to keep going for a while. It'll be a lot of fun. Like, this is when the job is super fun. I mean, my job is pretty fun either way. But when you have a winning team, it's so fun. The Cubs in the playoffs was fun. This is fun. It won't be as fun if Chicago loses to Wisconsin in two playoffs. That won't be as fun. But we'll hang out here on the pod and here on the radio show. Thanks to all the new subscribers. Really, really appreciate it. Please, if you're seeing this video for the first time, we do a lot of bear stuff here. And once bear season is over, I'm going to throw other stuff on here too. We have a great partner in Remy Martin that takes good care of us. So please subscribe. It doesn't cost you a thing. There's no paywall. There's none of that stuff. It's just me and my weird thoughts about things. And I know I owe you guys a pod on for those of you who listen on the audio side on Spotify and Apple, I owe an Alabama pod. Because good God. He's already dead. Like, come on. Like, that was a beating. Now, I'm not really that surprised. Kurt Cignetti's squad, that thing that he's done has been amazing. Anyway. All right, I'm done. I got to watch this crazy game to end the week. And this has been fun. And now it gets even more fun. And I'm glad that you were with me, whether it's here or on the score. We are going to have a blast this week. We are going to hang out. We are going to talk ball with all of our experts. All of our friends who used to play for the Bears are going to stop by the show. And you're going to love it. All right? Cool. Oh, and shout out to Illinois State. It's playing for the national championship. They have now adopted Roll Bird. So I'm not just adding that because of my Bama thing. But Roll Birds, good luck to them in the national championship game down in Nashville. I will talk to you next time. All right? Peace.